جام مینائے عالم تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چھ ہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہا ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر گمے دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا ايها الذين امنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن ان بعد الظن اثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام اياكم والظن فان الظن اكذب الحديث وقال عليه الصلاه والسلام حسن الظن من حسن العباده صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم most respected ulama elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the sixth year after Hijrah, after Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah Mukarrama and he came to Madinatul Munawwara, the Sulah Hudaybiyah took place. Sulah Hudaybiyah is the peace treaty between the Muslims and the non-Muslims to end the war of 19 years. One of the terms and conditions of the peace treaty was whoever want to join alliances with anyone, with the Muslims or the non-Muslims, they were free to do so. In Makkatul Mukarrama, there were two tribes, the tribe of Banu Bakr and the tribe of Banu Makhzum. The tribe of Banu Bakr formed alliances with the non-Muslims of Makkah Mukarrama. And the tribe of Banu Makhzum, they form alliances with the Muslims. The Muslim could not attack the non-Muslims. The non-Muslim could not attack the Muslims. And whoever formed alliances with anyone, they were also bound by the terms and conditions of that peace treaty. On one occasion, the tribe of Banu Bakr, who had formed alliances with the disbelievers in Makkah Mukarramah, they launched a brutal attack on the tribe of Banu Makhzum in Makkah Mukarramah. The tribe of Banu Makhzum had formed alliances with the Muslims. And by attacking the tribe of Banu Makhzum, they had violated the terms and conditions of the peace treaty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this in Madinah Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to the Quraysh or the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah, who were the principal people with whom the peace treaty was signed. He ordered them to pay the blood money of all the people from the tribe of Banu Makhzum. Second option, if you do not want to pay the blood money, then distance yourself from the tribe of Banu Bakr. And if you cannot do that, then cancel the peace treaty. The disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah did not respond to any one of these three conditions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had understood through this that now there is no peace treaty. The peace treaty had been cancelled. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam secretly intended to launch an attack on the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah. This was a secret of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba in Madinah Munawwara, they were aware of the intention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that to keep his intention secret and not to have it divulged to the non-Muslims. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam, and Abu Marsad Ghanawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He told all three of them, go to a place called Rawza-e Khakh. It's the name of a place between Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara. You will find a woman. She's got a letter. Go bring that letter and hand it over to me. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zubair ibn Awam, and Abu Marsad Ghanawi radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they rode on their horses and they came to that place, Rawza-e Khakh, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there will be a woman there traveling to Makkah Mukarramah. They approached her. They told her, لَتُخْرِجَنَّ الْكِتَابِ. Where's that letter you've got? You're carrying a letter to deliver to Makkah. Where is that letter? Take it out. Her immediate response was denial. I don't have any letter. Ali radiallahu ta'ala then threatened her and told to her, you either take that letter out, otherwise we will be compelled to search you. Very reluctantly, she took her hand and put it in the back by her plait of hair, which was just above the hips. She took out a letter and she gave it to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam, Abu Marsad Ghanabi radiallahu anhum, they returned to Madinah to Munawwara and they gave this letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read that letter and it happened to be a letter from a very great, illustrious Badri sahabi, Abu Hatib Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah, informing them about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intention to launch an attack on Makkah Mukarramah or to the disbelievers. Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu actually intended to divulge the secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to keep to himself and to the Sahaba, Abu Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that in the letter. This was a serious mistake. We could even call it a political mistake. It was an error. It was a secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There couldn't be anything worse than that. To withhold and to preserve the secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of utmost importance to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Sahaba. But here, a Sahabi who is a Badri Sahabi, so close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he secretly informing the people of Makkah Mukarramah about the intentions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There wouldn't be anything more serious than this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Hatib Balta radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ma haza ya Hatib? Oh Hatib, what is this? What do you do with this? Why are you writing this letter? So Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu then gave an explanation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, all your companions, all the Sahaba that are here in Madinah Munawwara, who made hijrah from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara, they have families in Makkah Mukarrama to look after their interest in Makkah Mukarrama. I'm not an original resident of Makkah Mukarrama, I'm from Yemen. I settled into Makkah al-Mukarramah and I do not have any family there like how the Sahaba of Makkah Mukarramah have families in Makkah Mukarramah to look after their interests. My intention was never to betray Allah the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I knew for the fact whatever is decreed by Allah will definitely happen. Allah's help and assistance will definitely be with you. But I just use this as an opportunity to inform the people of Makkah Mukarrama so that they could look after my interest and the interest of my family in Makkah Mukarrama. He explained himself to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a serious offense, serious mistake he has made. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not immediately react to that. Asked him for an explanation. Why did you do this, O Hatib? After Hatib radiallahu ta'ala gave that explanation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Ama innahu qad sadaq. He has spoken the truth. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who was there, he was overwhelmed with what Hatib radiallahu ta'ala did. He was angry, he was upset, betraying Allah and the Rasul. He immediately responded and he said, Innahu qad khana Allah wa Rasulah. Da'ni fali adrib unuqahu ya Rasulallah. O Prophet of Allah, this person, he has embezzled in an amanat and a trust of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just leave me, let me behead this person. He was overwhelmed, he was angry with what Hatib radiallahu ta'ala did. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to Umar radiallahu ta'ala and told to him, Alisa qad shahida badran? Is Hatib radiallahu ta'ala not a Badri Sahabi? Did he not take part in the battle of Badr? La'alla Allah ittala'a ahla Badr wa qal qad wajabat lakum al-jannah. Didn't Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala focus to the Sahaba that took part in the battle of Badr and Allah pronounced, Allah proclaimed that Jannat has become wajib upon them. After this, when Nabi Kareem mentioned this to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then there were tears that came down the eyes of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he mentioned, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Rasul knows best. I don't know. Allah and the Rasul knows best. There's quite a lot of lessons we can learn from this incident. The first lesson we learn, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man is created weak. We all have our weaknesses and shortcomings. Besides the Anbiya, besides the Prophet of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, everyone have weaknesses, everyone have shortcomings. Al-insan مُرَكَّبْ بَيْنَ الْخَطَايَا وَالنِّسِيَانِ. A human being is a combination of errors and mistakes. كُلُّكُمْ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. Every one of you err. And the best of those persons that err are those that make tawbah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. No one is perfect. We all make mistakes. If today somebody else made mistake, tomorrow we may make a mistake. Or it may be a third person that will make mistake. We live within a community of human beings. And we have to condition our minds that somebody is going to make a mistake. And nobody is perfect. Second lesson we learn, if anyone makes a mistake, what we think is a mistake, or any information we have about somebody that they have caught did something wrong, then don't react with emotion. Follow the principle. Seek clarity from that person. Hatim radiallahu ta'ala who committed a serious offense, divulging the secret of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a chance to Hatim radiallahu ta'ala to explain himself. And this is a great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear somebody have done something, sometimes we hear it from the third source and the fourth source. And then we digest that information and we react in a negative way, in a wrong way. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that interact with a person directly. Get clarity from the person directly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hatib radiallahu ta'ala and asked him, "Oh Hatib, what is this?" He allowed Hatib radiallahu to explain himself. And after Hatib radiallahu to explain himself, Nabi Kareem sallam mentioned that what he said is true and correct. And from this we also understand that we should avoid getting information from third source and fourth sources that could be very, very misleading. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a fasiq, becoming a fasiq consequently after doing the wrong thing. If such a person brings information to you, do not just accept that information. Do not eat and drink and digest that information. Seek clarity. Find out the reality of it. And if you do not do that, you just accept that information, especially when you get information from somebody that's emotional, or you get information from somebody who you know got it in for the next person, then the fuqaha have mentioned that getting a shahadat and witness from two people that disagree with each other is even rejected in the court. You cannot accept such information. And if when you come to know the reality of what happened, فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, you may just regret in future. So a very great lesson we learn, that in order to look after our ruhaniyat, to look after our own spirituality, anything happened in a community, anything happened in the ummah, anything happened in the society, if it is possible for you to seek direct clarity, then one should do so. And the third most important lesson we learn from this is, if it is proven that somebody have done something wrong, then too, don't write that person off. Everybody has good in them, they've got bad in them. So assuming it has been established that somebody has done something wrong, don't only focus on the wrong of the person may have done some right as well. See how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was overwhelmed. And he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, leave me, let me behead him." Hadr Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's focus was on the mistake Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu made. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned it around. Yes, he made a mistake. But beside the mistake, alaysa kal shaheed badran? Did he not take part in the battle of Badr? When somebody does something wrong, don't forget the good of that person as well. Don't only focus on his wrong and write the person off. If it's established the person has done wrong, enter into dialogue, explain the person. You explain him, you try to understand him, let him also understand you. But firstly, don't get information from third source, get it directly. And after getting it directly too, then focus on the positive of the person as well. Just as you focus him on the negative, also focus on the positive of the person as well. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not forget the great sacrifices the Qurbani Hazrat Hatib radiallahu ta'ala has made. He made a mistake here, but he didn't forget the good he had also done. And from this we learn a great lesson. So many of our people who have done great effort and sacrifice in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. Somewhere along the wrong line, something went wrong. You don't only focus on the wrong they did. What about the great effort and sacrifices they made in a country through which deen has come into the houses of thousands of people? They reformed the lives of so many people. Salat has come into the lives of so many people. What about the great other ulama, past and present? They're doing so much of work. The ulama in the Darul Ulooms, the ulama in the Jamiats, the ulama that are doing welfare work, the ulama that are working locally and internationally. When you engage in these kind of work, somewhere along the line, you may make a mistake. See, if somebody does come make a mistake, they don't only forget on a mistake and wrap that person up because of the mistake. There must be some other good that they have done. So why do we only focus on the wrong of the person and then we forget all the good that the person have done? The moment we think like that, turn it around. What if it was me? How would you like somebody to react to you? La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. Your iman is not complete until you do not love for your brother what you love for your own self. If you made a mistake, how you want somebody to react to you? You want that person to engage with you directly. You want to explain yourself. So if you want to do, if you wish somebody to treat you like that, why do we treat other people in a different way? So these are some very important lessons that we learn from this sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very, very healthy for our ruhaniyat and for our spirituality. May Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to keep our hearts pure, clean, follow the principles of the Sharia, and inshallah, if you do that, and many principles of the Sharia are just in keeping with even with logic. You know it is a logical thing, it's the right thing to do. Just apply your mind, find out from the ulama that you trust, what's the sunnah in this? What's the Quran, the teaching of the Quran in this? What the teaching of the hadith in this? And inshallah, you'll be safe from fitna. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Mali Ibrahim.